Well, good morning. I am Brian Garrig has been the service leader this morning. I'm the other Brian. My wife and I usually hang out at the North site, Grace Gathering North, usually with a bunch of teenagers. So we have a really good time there. But I'm really thankful to be here this morning with you guys and just share a little bit about what God has been doing in me. You know, when I was younger, I used to accomplish a lot when I would pray. I wasn't really sure how to do it at first. It was around middle school or high school where I realized that there was a lot of people talking about what it is to have a quiet time or to do your daily devotions. And I thought that was something that I really needed in my life. And it's something that I hadn't really done a lot of prior. And so I started going for it. I was like, well, if this is what we're supposed to do, I'm supposed to be praying every single day, probably in the mornings because that's what people told me you were supposed to do. And that's when your mind is working. So I'm going to start praying in the mornings. I'm going to pray every day. Now, I don't know if any of you can even remotely relate to this, but sometimes I find that as I'm praying, I get a little distracted. Sometimes my prayers would start like this. I'm praying, God, you know, please help me in school. Please help me with that project. You know, I'm really glad that I found that video for that project. It's actually a Top Gear video. Top Gear is really cool. I wish we had cable. I can't actually watch Top Gear. I can only find it on YouTube. I did get to watch Top Gear that one time when I was in Florida with my brother-in-law. Oh, man, we had the best mushroom burger. Uh-oh, that started out as a prayer. I'm sorry, God. Okay, God, you know, and then I'd go right back into it. And so I thought, okay, this is good. I'm growing, but I've got more to do. I've got more to go. So I bought myself a journal just like this one. And I started writing things out. This was so helpful for me. I am not a journaler, but just to have the bullets or even the pictures or whatever it is in front of me as I'm praying was really, really helpful because no longer did I get completely lost in thought as I would any other time, but I was actually able to come back to, you know, these are the things that I'm praying for. But as I started to do that, I fell into another trap. I would call it performance-based prayers. And two issues I fell into was one, as I began to write these things down, I started to date every single day that I would pray. And I was very committed. I wanted to do this right. I wanted to make sure that I prayed every single day. And so what I would do is, let's say I prayed on a Monday and I wrote it down, and I prayed on Tuesday and I wrote it down, but I missed Wednesday. And then I missed Thursday because, you know, life just gets hectic. You get busy. Friday comes around, and I'm a little nervous because I know that I missed a couple days. So what I do is I backdate it, and I write in Wednesday, I write my prayers. I write in Thursday, and I write my prayers. Okay, now God, we can pray for Friday because I've made it up for the past 2 days. So that was one trap that I fell into. The other trap that I fell into was my list started getting longer and longer and longer. Because I knew that it says in the Bible that we should seek him, ask, seek, and knock. We should seek him above all else, and he'll give us what we need. So I knew that that was true, and so my list just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And before I knew it, I felt like I was missing something. I felt like there had to be more to prayer. I don't know, have any of you ever felt this way? I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about prayer. We even say different phrases like, oh yeah, that sounds really terrible. I'll be praying for you. And that's good. Maybe someone asks you to do something and say, hold on, let me think about it. I'm going to pray about this and I'll let you know. One of my favorites, you're all very hungry. And someone says, can someone please pray so we can eat? We say this all the time because you got to pray before your meals. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone into, maybe you have kind of a designated every day around this time, I spend some time in prayer. Have you ever gone into that time almost like a professional business meeting where in a professional business meeting, you come up with your agenda prior to the meeting, then you get everyone together, and then you move through the bullet points on the agenda at a pace at which you can cover everything in the allotted time that you have. I know that I've done this before. Maybe you have too. But my question for us this morning is this. How often do we spend time in prayer just to spend time with God? Just to enjoy Him? That's really the question that we're going to be focusing on this morning. Now, to lay a little foundation, throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, throughout the history of Israel, through the Gospels about Jesus and all the letters of the New Testament, there are two unifying themes. I mean, there's a lot of books in the Bible. There's a lot of different authors and a lot of different styles and genres. But every story, every passage, every parable has two unifying themes that are woven together throughout Scripture. The first is introduced right at the beginning in Genesis 1, where God invites us into a relationship. He makes Adam and Eve in His own image. I mean, that's pretty relational, to not just make a tree or a flower, but I'm going to make a being in my own image. And He spends time with them, and they're walking in the garden. And this is true throughout Scripture. Also, as soon as Adam and Eve are on the scene and they have this relationship, there's the second theme that launches itself forward into Scripture. And that is, when you have a relationship with God, you now have a responsibility to represent Him. And so God tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, rule over the earth. I've given you a purpose. And so these are the two themes that we see throughout Israel's history, we see it throughout Jesus' ministry, and we see it as we look forward into God's ongoing work today. And in our relationship with God, we if you look at biblical language, they use the word covenant. Now, this isn't really a word that we use a lot today, but we do have experiences of covenant relationships. So a covenant is a promise. It's a commitment. It's not, hey, I met this person, I'm going to go to Starbucks and hang out with them, and then I'm done. A modern day example that we might understand of a covenant relationship would be like a marriage. Most people, I'm sure that there are exceptions to the rule, but most people don't go find someone randomly on the street, come home that day and say, now we're married. You know, there's this whole counting the cost ahead of time. You go through and you date the other person, and you spend time with them, you get to know their family, you go through the engagement process, and you can't even show up on the wedding day without getting all the proper legal documents in place, because this isn't just a decision you made on the fly, and it's not a decision that you plan on passing you by anytime soon. This is a commitment, and that describes the relationship that God invites us into. Many of us have experienced this. If you're here this morning and you don't feel like that's you, well, I encourage you to keep listening, because there's some really good news on the way. But when you encounter a committed covenant relationship with God, it has a significant effect on you. I mean, when you get married, you're not necessarily the same person that you were before. All of your decisions change, your outlook changes on life. And that's where we find kingdom responsibility. Now, again, kingdom would be a term better embedded into the culture of the authors of Scripture. There were kingdoms all over the place. And so when Jesus came on the scene, He used their language, and he spoke about heaven as if, you know, this is my kingdom. And my kingdom is actually coming here to earth. And you get to be a part of it. In fact, I want you to follow me, and I want you to represent me everywhere you go. And so there's these two themes, covenant and kingdom, relationship and responsibility. And these two themes are woven together and embedded in the purpose of prayer as well. So when we pray, there are times where we pray covenant relationship prayers, and there are times where we pray kingdom responsibility prayers. A covenant prayer would just be spending time with God, just enjoying Him. A kingdom prayer would be asking Him for things. You know, help me with this. Please take this away. Please fix this in my life. Please heal this person. And over the next 3 weeks, starting today, we're going to be talking about what prayer looks like in each of these categories. And so next week, Brian Gehrig is going to be talking about the second theme and how our prayer life can be enriched when we grow our expectation of faith of what God can do as we represent him on the earth, and how our prayers can have a tangible effect on the world around us. The week after that, Chris is going to be talking, okay, so we've taken the past 2 weeks to talk about our personal prayer life. How do we grow that together in corporate prayer so that eventually, here at Grace Gathering, we can experience a true culture of prayer? But today, we're just going to focus on the first part. If you don't hear me say anything else today, the bottom line for today is that prayer provides the space for an ever-growing relationship with God. Prayer provides the space for an ever-growing relationship with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I know based on my personality and my giftings and the way that I see the world, when it comes to covenant and kingdom or relationship and responsibility, I tend to focus or spend more time with one or the other. And that's true when I pray. So what I want to do is I'd like to get a gauge of where we're at here in this room. I want to just do a quick poll, and here will be your two options. Here's a question. When you spend your time praying, do you spend more time experiencing God and resting in him? Or when you pray, do you spend more of that time asking him for things? Now, both are good, but we tend to gravitate towards one or the other. Do you spend more time spending time with God and enjoying him, resting in him? Do you spend more time asking him for things? So, by a show of hands, how many of you tend to spend more time in prayer, just spending time with God and just enjoying his presence? Okay, we got a few of us. All right, so the other option, how many of you spend more time asking God for things when you pray? Ooh, all right. An overwhelming majority, it looks like. Even more so in this service than the first service. So that's really helpful to know, right? Just to kind of identify where we're at and so that we can grow in the one that maybe we need to focus on more. So if prayer is all about cultivating this relationship with God, the question then is, how do we do that? If we want to grow in not just asking God for things, which is good, but also spending time with him, how do we do that? Well, there's a story where Jesus is so caught up in prayer that one of his friends notices him and just sees the power of what's going on as Jesus is praying. And he asks him this very question. He says, Lord, teach us to pray. And so if you have your Bibles or a phone or tablet, we're going to be in just a short passage in Luke 11 today. And we're going to read through what some of you might even recognize as the Lord's Prayer. So in Luke 11, it's also on the screens. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food that we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. That was it. That was his answer. Jesus, how should we pray? Start off acknowledging who God is. That he's our dad, and that he is perfect and holy. Then ask that his kingdom would come. Engage in the desire of God's own heart to bring heaven here to earth. Acknowledge that he is our provider, that he wants to give us, he gives us everything that we need. Ask him for forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings, and ask him to deliver us from the areas that we feel tempted in. But the very first thing that Jesus starts out his prayer is Father. Now, this is not just Jesus talking. He was just asked, how should we pray? Teach us how to pray. So this is our example to follow. And if you follow Jesus' ministry, if you read about him in the Gospels, he practices what he preaches. When he talks about God, he talks about his dad. When he prays, he says, Father. And this is no different. He says, Father, may your name be kept holy. And I think it's because Jesus wants us to know, he wants to teach us, that prayer provides the space for an ever-growing relationship with God. You know, I don't know, for some of us in this room, how you even view God. I mean, the world would say a number of different things. Just some sort of supreme being that is in the sky, kind of distant from us. Maybe the guy who created everything, set things into order, and then kind of took a step back. Some people use even more vague language, like the universe is at work, or fate, or what have you. But that's not how Jesus talks. He says he's our dad. He's my dad and he's your dad. Now, we can all think of unhelpful examples of a dad. But we also know what a good dad is. First of all, a good dad is not far or uninvolved. That's not a good dad. A good dad is not just some famous person that you've only ever heard of. I believe there's a God. I've heard of God. A good dad isn't just our boss. He's not just a teacher. He's not a cousin that we see sometimes. No, a good dad is close. He cares about you. He's involved. He cheers you on in all your games. A good dad thinks the world of you, and he's obsessed with every detail about you. He celebrates different victories along the way, when you first walk or when you get your first job. A good dad cries when you hurt. I mean, this is intimate. This is personal and loving language when Jesus teaches us to pray. Yesterday, we had a huge party at our house where we invited, I want to say, around 60 people to fit our little 1,500 square foot home. And it was packed, man, because this was a day to celebrate. It was our daughter's first birthday party. Yeah, so her name is Georgia. This is Georgia, everybody. And that's my wife, Shandy. And so because her name is Georgia, it was peach themed. So we had peach color decorations. We had peach pie. We had peaches that you would put on top of angel food cake. There was just peach everything. It was great. Peach salsa, who knew? That picture up on the top left was Georgia enjoying her own peach pie. It's fantastic. I love that picture. And what was so special about this party was, leading up to the party, I really was able to take some time to reflect on what this past year has meant for us. And specifically what this past year has meant for me as I've learned what it means to become a new dad. It's been incredibly impactful, and I just had all these different memories. There's so many times this year where I was with Georgia and I just had this thought, this is how God sees us. Like, I'm not a good example of this, but I know that God has given me a glimpse into heaven right now. You know, she's crying and she doesn't know what she wants, but I know what she wants, and so I'm just holding her, and I just think, oh, that's how God sees us. Or she used to just stay put because she couldn't move, but now she's crawling everywhere, and I can't keep track of her. And I just had this thought, you know, now that she has more freedom, her decisions have more weight to them. They matter. I just think, oh, that's how God sees us. He cares about the decisions that we make. And many, many more. But at the end, really the thing that stuck out to me the most was this one observation. From the moment that Georgia joined us, she didn't have to do anything. And I am just completely obsessed with her. I mean, she is awesome. She is so great, and she didn't even earn it. I just love her to death. This week, I was gone for 3 days in Grand Rapids, and my parents were watching her. And I remember just pulling up. They live in the country, surrounded by woods on each side of the driveway, and we're pulling up in front of the garage. And I step out of the car, and I look to my left, and I see the glass screen door. And there's my mom, and then just below her is Georgia, just standing, looking at me, like pounding on the glass, and probably saying words that make sense to her, but not really to us. But she was so excited to see me, and it was the best. And a couple hours later, I was praying that night, and I remember that moment. I hope I never forget it. And I thought, how often do we pray? How often do I go anticipating time in prayer, excited to spend time with my dad? How often do I have that much joy and anticipation? You know, this is actually really especially important for us as a church, Grace Gathering. We're going through this season, this 2 to 3 year emphasis of really, as a group, growing and sharing our faith with others. And so, like you, I'm praying pretty often, daily, for different people, for different opportunities for them. We've got a chalkboard in our bathroom of a list of names that I'm praying for. Every day at 10:03, as many of you probably have reminders going off on your phone to be praying for different people. But I think God wants to remind us this morning that when we pray, it's just not all about work. It's not just about the work of praying for people, the work of doing evangelism. Sometimes prayer is just about resting in Him. And so what I'm going to do in a moment is just introduce a helpful tool or a discipline that I've put in place that I've seen a lot of fruit of. But I just want to say this. Going into this morning, I really felt like what I had to share was pretty simple. It wasn't really anything earth-shattering or groundbreaking. Many of you have probably heard this before. And I really felt convicted because I realized that's just not true. This is the most earth-shattering thing anyone's ever said. That the God of the universe, who created everything, who has authority over everything, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, completely wise, wants to spend time with you. He just wants to spend time with you. And so here's a little acronym that I like to use when I pray, and I've found it extremely, extremely helpful. It's ACT. Maybe some of you have seen this before, with maybe some bigger words: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But we spend a lot of our time with teenagers, and I'm not even really sure what the word supplication means half the time. So I shortened it a little bit to just adore, confess, thank, and seek. And what this process does when we pray, it's really, really helpful, is you spend the first three steps, the first three parts of your prayer, just spending time with God. Because He's our dad, and He loves us, and prayer is the space for a relationship with Him. So we spend time adoring Him for who He is, just calling out things that are good about God. Scripture, especially in the Psalms, just give us a lot of really helpful language for this. And when you think about just how great God is, the natural implication of that is when you see yourself, you realize that you're not as good as God. Jesus said in Mark 3, I came not to call those who think they're good people, but to call those who know that they're not. And when you spend time adoring God for who He is, you immediately realize that you've got some things to confess. And when you confess those things, you're so thankful because God gives you just the grace that you need. He provides for you everything that you need. And let me tell you, I've found that when I go through this process, my seeking Him for the things that I need, my list changes. Because before, I had my own list of the things that I wanted to see, but now my mind has changed and I want more of what God wants. And so my list reflects Him more. You know, just as I wrap up, just thinking about the results that could come from this morning. If we don't pray like prayer provides the space for our relationship with God, there's a lot at stake. We may lose our sense of identity. We may just get caught up in the list. We may feel like we have to earn God's approval. We may even forget what He's done for us. And for some of us in this room, we start to believe this lie that Satan tells us of shame, that God doesn't really want to spend time with me. Guys, that's just not true. That's not how Jesus taught us to pray. God is our dad. He loves us. He's a good dad. He wants to spend time with us. But when we do pray, like prayer is the space and the environment where we can build a relationship with our dad in heaven, we can experience security and confidence in our relationship with God. Stuff begins to just overflow from who we are. The fruit of spending time with God, we know, is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things just come out of us. We begin to have more of a passion for what God has a passion for. And we're reminded of who we are so we can confidently step forward into what he's called us to do. So here's my challenge for you guys. And some of you may hear this and think, oh, I'm gonna go above and beyond that. Some of you may think, that's exactly what I need to do. Others of you may think, Brian, this was a fine sermon, but it's not really for me. It's up to you. But my challenge for you this week is, especially for those of you who raised your hand, said you spend more time asking God for things, I just want to encourage you, take at least 2 to 3 times this week, spending just 5 to 10 minutes, only adoring, confessing, and thanking. Adoring God for who he is, confessing that we need him, and thanking him for all that he has done. And I promise that God will meet you in that way. This is our dad, and he cares for us. There's a part in scripture that says that it's God's loving kindness that leads us to repentance. Repentance is this idea that I used to face and only see my sin, and I love my sin, but because of his loving kindness, I turn away from that and I turn towards God and all that he has for me. I'm not turning away from my sin because of cruelty or harshness or judgment. God's our dad and he loves us and he wants to spend time with us. And it's his loving kindness that leads us to turn to him. And maybe some of you, that's what you feel like God is speaking to you this morning. So what I want to do just as I close, keeping in mind this challenge, I want to pray for us. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do those first 3 things. I'm just going to pray adoration of who God is, confessing that I need him, and thanking him for all that he has done. And as I end, I'd really like, maybe just for a couple minutes, for each of you as individuals to practice this right now. To just take some time adoring God, confessing that you need him, and thanking him. And may you be richly blessed this week, knowing that God loves you, that he cares for you, that he wants to spend time with you, and that prayer with him, this ongoing dialogue of speaking and listening, provides a space for relationship with him. So I'm going to pray, and afterwards I want you to take some time to pray as well. God, I'm thankful that you are my dad and that you love me. You're so wise. You understand everything. You orchestrate really good things together, even when they seem opposed or impossible. You design things with color and dimension beyond my ability to fully appreciate, let alone even create myself. Your words literally give me life. And you cause me to remember all the good things that you've done for me. God, you are perfect, but I confess that I am not. You want to spend time with me. I consume my time with temporary pleasure. You call me deeper. God, I get scared and I would rather choose comfort. Thank you for your forgiveness and unending grace. Thank you for choosing me and loving me. Thank you for surrounding me with a community of people who love you and who reflect you to me. Father, thank you for accommodating me in my weakness. You are so, so good to me. Father, thank you for your love. Amen.